When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the final hour of power here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock before we hand things over to the Infinity Sports Network. Right now, though, six training camp practices in for the Washington Commanders. And I told you all straight up, I don't care if you want to call me a homer. I don't care if you want to call me a homie. I'm all vibes right now for the Washington Commanders. My gut feels on this group is that, you know, they're going to exceed people's expectations here locally. I think nationally, outside Adam Rank, you know, the thoughts are, you know, people pretty high on this group. National media members like Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, you know, Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network, folks continue to talk about, man, Jaden Daniels can be scary in Washington. Jaden Daniels can have Washington scary. Jaden Daniels could this, Jaden Daniels could that. A lot of the optimism about this team, surrounding this football team, is because of Jaden Daniels. I want to look outside of that, though. I want to give you my number one reason for optimism through six training camp practices outside of the quarterback, Jaden Daniels. And then my number one concern through six training camp practices. Now, I'll be honest, when you do this exercise, as the day has gone on and I've gotten more opportunity to think about things, my answer's kind of changed to this. My number one concern through six training camp practices, my number one concern first of all, the fact that this is difficult for me lets you know that through six practices, things have been pretty damn good, right? It ain't easy for me to give you. So there isn't no one glaring concern with this group. I'll list a couple of different things here. One was kind of solved earlier today with the kicking situation. I think that was something to, I don't want to say be concerned over, but it was something to where you should go, you know what, it's kind of interesting that they're relying on one guy. He hadn't been, you know, a world beater through the first six practices either. So you see why they brought in the comp. My thing is this, though. So I guess my number one concern through six practices really arose and became a prominent concern and issue for me as of yesterday. And I'm talking about the outside corner spot in Washington secondary. Now, yesterday, we had Emmanuel Forbes and Mike Davis holding down the outside corner spot during the 11-on-11 stuff. That was because projected starter Benjamin St. Juste, who I thought was having a damn good camp to this point, he hadn't really given up a lot of plays at all. I don't even remember his name being called a lot of the times. So they're simply not throwing at him. He went into the locker room or went back into the facility after individual drills. So he's nicked up, dealing with a little bit of something. We'll see if he is out there in tomorrow's session. But, man, outside corner, as of yesterday, to me, is my number one concern. It was bombs away at practice yesterday. I mean, yeah, yesterday. I mentioned Jayden Daniels. I thought I had his best practice of the offseason. I thought the entire offense, all four quarterbacks that got reps, Jayden Daniels, Sam Hartman, Jeff Driscoll, Marcus Mariota. Well, all four of those guys were tremendous, were excellent yesterday. And it didn't start that way because defensively, they forced two turnovers to start the practice. Mike Sainer was still knocking the ball out on Brian Robinson as he tried to finish a run. Love the hustle from Sainer still. He's been awesome to this point. And then the very next play, Ertz catches it, Louisville in coverage, peanut punch, ball out. Commanders defense gets it. That's how it started. I guess what I was most impressed with was their resiliency and their ability to bounce back. Look, yesterday they were, like I said, bombs away. And I'm trying to pull up John Kimes' article here because he charted it. Daniels made multiple throws for 20 or more yards. Deep ball to Terry. Back shoulder to Terry. He hit Alamide Zaccheaus on the back shoulder. And then two passes to Jahan, one off of a scramble, another off of play fake. He was lights out yesterday. But while the offense was good and had their best day at camp, defensively, I was like, are you all improved? I think the answer to that question is yes. The thing that will make this secondary better that I feel like maybe we're not discussing enough and we're not putting enough onus on this group in particular, if this defensive front, let me not even just put it on the defensive front. If Joe Witt Jr. can find ways to scheme up and manufacture pressure on a consistent basis, the secondary's job will become a hell of a lot easier. And I think, to me, that's the bigger point here. That's what matters the most. If they can get a consistent pass rush, and if yesterday was any indication, they're going to get after the quarterback by any means necessary, whether it's blitzing out of the secondary off the edge, whether it's double A-gap blitzes, whether it is – you know, stunts up front along the defensive line. I mean, they're going to have a bevy of different ways to get after him. So I saw this stat early, and I'm glad I just mentioned it. This is from our guy Doug Farrar of USA Today Touchdown Wire. Last season, the Cowboys stunted a ton to create pressure, and it worked like a charm in DQ's defense. Dan Quinn's defense in Dallas last year got disruption on 46.6% of those concepts, which is damn good. Washington, on paper, has a more talented defensive front when you take into account all of the pieces. They had a better defensive front than Dallas. So if the Cowboys were able to feast last year off of the game, stunts, twists, you name it, being played up front, that's what Washington's going to do. In an area where Washington thrived when it came to the games up front was in 2022 when John and Deron went crazy. Those two were picking each other and working off of each other in a great manner, and it helped them put up big-time numbers. Like, it to me, I think this group is in a damn good spot, and they're going to wreak havoc getting after the quarterback. I don't want to put a specific number on it, but one thing that I continued to mention throughout the offseason as a potential position to need, I didn't think they had that edge rusher that on third and six plus, you can circle them and say, go get the quarterback. What I think we're learning about this pass rush unit of the Commanders is they're going to pass rush by committee. It's going to be the interior guys. It's going to be John Allen and Deron on the inside. It's going to be Dorrance Armstrong and Fowler and Farrell off the edge. but you're also going to see them be uber aggressive in how they try to get to the quarterback. We've seen Jeremy Chinn and Quan Martin get sent. We've seen Bobby Wagner and Luvu get sent off the edge. Look, I don't know how well it's going to work. And the one concern I would say about the amount of stunts that they're going to run is, will it compromise your run defense? Will it put you in a position where you are at, where you at the snapper taking guys out of their gap and putting them out of position? That's my only concern with it. Outside of that, Deron Payne put it best the other day when he spoke, man. We hunting. We are hunting. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll put the Washington Commanders to bed for the rest of the night. When we get back, we'll take a big picture look at the National Football League. We'll go around the NFL with some of the best sound from NFL training camp thus far. Coming up next here on The Fan.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We've talked all things Washington Commanders to this point. Right now, here in the final 40 or so minutes of the program, I want to take a big picture look at the National Football League and hear the best sound coming out of NFL training camp to this point. I want to start out in Florham Park, New Jersey, where the Washington Commanders will be in attendance next Thursday for a joint practice against the Jets. The preseason opener coming up Saturday against the New York Jets. And Jets head coach Robert Saleh, not sure whether or not Aaron Rodgers will be suiting up for that one.
Going back down. Will he play any preseason snaps?
We haven't really talked about it. My instinct right now as I stand here is we'll see.
Your instinct is we'll see.
My instinct is no, but I want to leave it open that that third game is the one where we're deciding. So he definitely won't play the first two, but the discussion on the third one we just haven't quite had yet.
Now, contrary to what Saleh said yesterday, Aaron Rodgers said today that it is, quote, news to me that he won't be playing in the preseason. Robert Saleh has no control of what's going on in New York, and it's very evident. Every time he opens his mouth, he gets contradicted by the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is pulling all the strings for the New York Jets. The Pittsburgh Steelers, their quarterback situation, also pretty interesting. For some reason, prior to camp starting, most national pundits penciled in Russell Wilson as the week one starter. He suffered a calf injury and missed the first 4 days of Steelers camp. He reflected on what that time on the sideline did for him.
You're constantly learning, you're constantly watching, you know, growing with your teammates and everything else. I think the best thing is the cool part is the leadership part of it and just being with the guys and spending that time and just that's been the best part about being Latrobe.
Russell Wilson saying all the right things. Earlier today on NFL Live, ESPN's Adam Schefter, the insider, giving us the real skinny on what's going on in Pittsburgh.
You heard the Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin come out before camp and say, in his words, that Russell Wilson had the quote-unquote pole position to win the Steelers starting quarterback job. But what happens when you have the pole position and you suffer a calf strain early in camp and you give your competition some reps, that enables Justin Fields to make a mark with the coaching staff, and he certainly did. And I think Russell Wilson remains in the pole position, but I also think that Justin Fields has opened some eyes, and they see the type of offense they could have. And we know how this staff has felt about Justin Fields in the past, and he has gotten better at practice every day, as it's been told to me. So we'll see how this plays out over the summer. Again, I think Russell's in the lead, but I think Justin Fields has gained some ground just by being out there with Russell being sidelined due to that calf injury.
Steelers not the only quarterback competition going on in the AFC. Antonio Pierce and the Las Vegas Raiders, they got a quarterback competition going on between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. AP talking after the first day of camp with pads on.
Pads go on today. What are you looking for? What are you expecting?
Expecting bang, bang. A lot of clatter, a lot of chatter. Guys excited. It's about time. We've been in pads since the spring. 7-on-7 is over. It's time for real football.
These guys, since it's first day, had to go all out. Do you want them to show
up? Full blown. Just like I said, day one. We'll hit the ground running. We'll set up drills to build it up. You'll see over there with the O-line, D-line, and then the front seven, and then we'll get into team periods, and then we'll end practice with life.
AP also told Jonathan Jones at CBS.com that his starters will play in all 3 preseason games, at least a half. So AP doing things old school. He's got Tom Coughlin and Marvin Lewis as senior advisors on his staff. Do not sleep on Antonio Pierce's Las Vegas Raiders. That'll do it for our quick whip around the National Football League, giving you the best sound from NFL training camp. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to look big picture at the National Football League as we're joined by my pal Mike Jones, senior writer for The Athletic. He is set to join us next here on Overtime. He was actually out in Latrobe watching Steelers practice. He joins us next here on The Fan. One of my absolute favorites on the guest hotline, national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at By Mike Jones. Mike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Always appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you. And the timing couldn't be better, my friend, as we just got the news and caught wind of Tua and his massive 4-year, $212 million extension. I saw you quote tweet Jeremy Fowler, and these numbers, Mike, are mind-boggling. So according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, the 2020 draft class has produced $1 billion in quarterback contracts and counting because Jordan Love has a big deal incoming as well. First, I want to get your thoughts right off the break here, Mike, about, you know, whether or not you think Miami made the right decision here, choosing to stick with Tua Tagovailoa long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did. I think that what we saw last year, he did a better job of getting the ball out of his hands more quickly, protecting himself. He played a full season. Those injury concerns from the year before, he proved he was able to bounce back from that. Really, you got to look at it as like, okay, you're not going to get a bargain deal if and have a top-flight quarterback. This is just what quarterbacks cost now, so you got to bite the bullet. What were you going to get that was better than him? You know, next year, are you going to let him go and then draft somebody and it'll be a mystery? You know what you have with him. He knows the system, the quarterbacks, you know, the receivers, the coaches, everybody knows him, and they are putting, you know, him in position to succeed. This is what they had to do. Now they just have to, you know, continue to invest in their defense and make sure that his supporting cast is strong. But I think that they would have set themselves back if they did not sign Tua to the extension here.
You mentioned, you know, needing to keep that supporting cast intact. It becomes more difficult to do that, Mike, once Tua's contract numbers begin to kick in. Do you have any concerns down the line about whether or not they can continue to surround him with competent weaponry?
If he continues to play well, they will find a way. Look at Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes had a massive deal. You know, a few years ago he signed it, and then every couple of years it seems like they're reworking that deal to give them some more flexibility, move some money here and there. If things are going well with them, if he's playing well, he's going to want to stay there. He's going to want to make sure that they have the resources and the flexibility to continue to support him. So, you just have to win. And the cap is going to continue to go up every year. These massive TV contracts continue to go up and go up. And so they're going to have more money to play with. They're going to find a way. This is what quarterbacks cost now. You just have to get used to the fact Jerry Jones dragging his feet down in Dallas. Dude, open up the checkbook. It's going to cost you $50 million a year. Plus, you know, and the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. And so you just might as well get it done and then continue to work and be creative with your cap team to find ways to structure these contracts so that way you can put together a competent playoff contender.
Mike, I agree with most of what you said. I said it at the top of the show. I just would have had a difficult time committing this much money long-term to Tua Tagovailoa. The injury concerns to me are still there. He spent one season healthy. Who knows what happens next year in terms of the durability. And then, Mike, the numbers against playoff teams and non-playoff teams continue to baffle me. You know them. They've been read to you ad nauseum. How do you explain the drop-off that Miami had, in Tua in particular, when they went up against talented playoff teams a season ago?
Okay, is that Tua's fault or is that Mike McDaniel's fault? You know, is it their defensive coordinator, you know, because they couldn't stop anybody? Is it, you know, play calling? Is it, you know, mixing up your tendencies? I don't think that this is just a Tua problem. This is, you know, all parties involved, and I think that they have got to be better. And I think that they'll all tell you that. But you could not afford to not have Tua. And then, again, who are you going to get next year? Sam Darnold, Tyrod Taylor? I mean, like, who is a veteran quarterback that's going to be able to be cheap while you draft somebody and, you know, try to develop him all over again? This is a guy you've spent a lot of time in. You've invested draft picks. You've been patient. You've, you know, ridden out his injuries. Again, last year, you know, he played a full season. You hope that he doesn't have, you know, another, you know, a setback year. But again, he did a better job of getting the ball out of his hands more quickly. And they have got to continue to invest in his offensive line so he's not a sitting duck back there. But they, I understand. They have all got to be better, though. The Mike McDaniel is now, the pressure is on. They have got to, they can't just, you know, put up great numbers during the regular season against bad teams. They've got to start beating teams like the Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens and the Chiefs. And they've got to get into the playoffs and they've got to win a game. They can't go out there and be one and done. And you know, be embarrassed out there in the playoffs. They have got to now contend. The excuses are gone because Mike McDaniel is now on his third defensive coordinator in 3 years, and his offense, you know, very pretty, puts up a lot of points, great numbers and everything, but you've now got to get it done. And so, yeah, you had to keep the quarterback, but it's more than just Tua. That's the guy that you got to be looking at for answers against those great teams.
Yeah, you mentioned pressure potentially being on head coach Mike McDaniel. It sounds fascinating that that's now going to be a topic of conversation with Tua now getting this big deal. So they're 0-2 in the postseason under McDaniel. The first time around, they had to go with Skylar Thompson, their seventh-round pick, in that game against Buffalo, and they almost pulled it off, if you remember, Mike. Right. When you look at the job that McDaniel has done there, he's an interesting type of head coach. You obviously remember him back from your time here covering Washington on the Skins beat. Like, folks knew that he was going to evolve into a damn good coach. Do you think he's got the temperament and the, I don't want to say the respect of the locker room, but, like, sometimes you need someone that's willing to put a foot up your behind. And I wonder, in terms of the toughness aspect that they lack, is that reflective and indicative of the head coach?
Look, if they fired Mike McDaniel, he would be hired within, you know, 24-hour span by somebody.
Yeah.
He's highly creative. Players like playing for him. Yes, we see the quirkiness and all the weird long answers at the podium, but he knows how to connect with players. He's very creative, innovative, you know. But again, for whatever reason, they have not been able to get what they need out of the defense. Because, look, your defense against those top teams has got to get some stops. Just if you get one stop and put your team in position with a short field, you get a field goal, you get a touchdown, that makes a difference in playoff football. And so, yes, he's got to be invested. He can't just worry about the offense. He's got to be invested as they got a new defense coordinator. But he's got to, you know, hope that they can try to figure that out there. I think that he can deliver. You know, but yeah, he's got questions to answer, and he's not the only guy. There's a number of head coaches with quality teams. Sean McDermott's another one. Doug Peterson, you know, of course, Mike McCarthy in Dallas has always, you know, got a lot to show. He's kind of entering lame duck year, but there's a number of guys. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia is another one that, look, they've got good teams, but it's getting to the point where being good isn't enough. You have to deliver in the postseason right here. And so that's where Mike McDaniel is right now. We know he's creative. We know he can change a culture because he's done that. But after a while, just getting to the dance isn't enough.
Yeah, straight up. I mean, Mike Jones telling it how a T.I. is. We're joined right now on the guest hotline by national NFL writer for The Athletic, my pal Mike Jones. Make sure you follow him on the X app, at by Mike Jones. I think it's only fitting, right, that we move on to the Dallas Cowboys next here. Mike, you have covered the National Football League for a long time, and we've heard great Jerry Jones sound bites over the years. The way one of my absolute favorites on the guest hotline, national NFL writer for The Athletic, Mike Jones. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at By Mike Jones. Mike, what's going on, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Always appreciate the opportunity to catch up with you. And the timing couldn't be better, my friend, as we just got the news and caught wind of Tua and his massive four-year, $212 million extension. I saw you quote tweet Jeremy Fowler, and these numbers, Mike, are mind-boggling. So according to Jeremy Fowler of ESPN, the 2020 draft class has produced $1 billion in quarterback contracts in counting, because Jordan Love has a big deal in coming as well. First, I want to get your thoughts right off the break here, Mike, about, you know, whether or not you think Miami made the right decision here, choosing to stick with Tua Tagovailoa long term.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did. I think that what we saw last year, he did a better job of getting the ball out of his hands more quickly, protecting himself. He played a full season. Those injury concerns from the year before, he proved he was able to bounce back from that. Really, you got to look at it as like, okay, you're not going to get a bargain deal and have a top-flight quarterback. This is just what quarterbacks cost now, so you got to bite the bullet. What were you going to get that was better than him, you know, next year? Are you going to let him go and then draft somebody and it'll be a mystery. You know what you have with him. He knows the system, the quarterbacks, you know, the receivers, the coaches, everybody knows him, and they are putting, you know, him in position to succeed. This is what they had to do. Now they just have to, you know, continue to invest in their defense and make sure that his supporting cast is strong. But I think that they would have set themselves back if they did not sign to the extension here.
You mentioned, you know, needing to keep that supporting cast intact. It becomes more difficult to do that, Mike, once Tua's contract numbers begin to kick in. Do you have any concerns down the line about whether or not they can continue to surround him with competent weaponry?
If he continues to play well, they will find a way. Look at Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes had a massive deal. You know, a few years ago he signed it, and then every couple of years it seems like they're reworking that deal to give them some more flexibility, move some money here and there. If things are going well with them, if he's playing well, he's going to want to stay there. He's going to want to make sure that they have the resources and the flexibility to continue to support him. So, you just have to win. And the cap is going to continue to go up every year. These massive TV contracts continue to go up and go up. And so they're going to have more money to play with. They're going to find a way. This is what quarterbacks cost now. You just have to get used to the fact Jerry Jones dragging his feet down in Dallas. Dude, open up the checkbook. It's going to cost you $50 million a year. Plus, you know, and the longer you wait, the more it's going to cost you. And so you just might as well get it done and then continue to work and be creative with your cap team to find ways to structure these contracts so that way you can put together a competent playoff contender.
Mike, I agree with most of what you said. I said it at the top of the show. I just would have had a difficult time committing this much money long-term to Tua Tagovailoa. The injury concerns to me are still there. He spent one season healthy. Who knows what happens next year in terms of the durability. And then, Mike, the numbers against playoff teams and non-playoff teams continue to baffle me. You know them. They've been read to you ad nauseum. How do you explain the drop-off that Miami had, and Tua in particular, when they went up against talented playoff teams a season ago?
Okay, is that Tua's fault or is that Mike McDaniel's fault? You know, is it their defensive coordinator, you know, because they couldn't stop anybody? Is it, you know, play calling? Is it, you know, mixing up your tendencies? I don't think that this is just a Tua problem. This is, you know, all parties involved, and I think that they have got to be better. And I think that they'll all tell you that. But you could not afford to not have Tua. And then, again, who are you going to get next year? Sam Darnold, Tyrod Taylor? I mean, like, who is a veteran quarterback that's going to be able to be cheap while you draft somebody and, you know, try to develop him all over again? This is a guy you've spent a lot of time in. You've invested draft picks. You've been patient. You've, you know, ridden out his injuries. Again, last year, you know, he played a full season. You hope that he doesn't have, you know, another, you know, a setback year. But again, he did a better job of getting the ball out of his hands more quickly. And they have got to continue to invest in his offensive line so he's not a sitting duck back there. But they, I understand. They have all got to be better, though. The Mike McDaniel is now, the pressure is on. They have got to, they can't just, you know, put up great numbers during the regular season against bad teams. They've got to start beating teams like the Bills and the Bengals and the Ravens and the Chiefs. And they've got to get into the playoffs and they've got to win a game. They can't go out there and be one and done and, you know, be embarrassed out there in the playoffs. They have got to now contend. The excuses are gone because Mike McDaniel is now on his third defensive coordinator in 3 years. And his offense, you know, very pretty. Puts up a lot of points, great numbers and everything. But you've now got to get it done. And so, yeah, you had to keep the quarterback. But it's more than just Tua that's the guy that you got to be looking at for answers against those great teams.
Yeah, you mentioned pressure potentially being on head coach Mike McDaniel. It sounds fascinating that that's now going to be a topic of conversation with Tua now getting this big deal. So they're 0-2 in the postseason under McDaniel. The first time around, they had to go with Skylar Thompson, their seventh-round pick, in that game against Buffalo, and they almost pulled it off, if you remember, Mike. Right. When you look at the job that McDaniel has done there, he's an interesting type of head coach. You obviously remember him back from your time here covering Washington on the Skins beat. Like, folks knew that he was going to evolve into a damn good coach. Do you think he's got the temperament and the, I don't want to say the respect of the locker room, but, like, sometimes you need someone that's willing to put a foot up your behind. And I wonder, in terms of the toughness aspect that they lack, is that reflective and indicative of the head coach?
Look, if they fired Mike McDaniel, he would be hired within, you know, 24 hour span by somebody.
Yeah.
He's highly creative. Players like playing for him. Yes, we see the quirkiness and all the weird long answers at the podium, but he knows how to connect with players. He's very creative, innovative, you know. But again, for whatever reason, they have not been able to get what they need out of the defense. Because, look, your defense against those top teams has got to get some stops. Just if you get one stop and put your team in position with a short field, you get a field goal, you get a touchdown, that makes a difference in playoff football. And so, yes, he's got to be invested. He can't just worry about the offense. He's got to be invested as they got a new defense coordinator, but he's got to, you know, hope that they can try to figure that out there. I think that he can deliver, you know, but yeah, he's got questions to answer, and he's not the only guy. There's a number of head coaches with quality teams. Sean McDermott's another one. Doug Peterson, you know, of course, Mike McCarthy in Dallas has always, you know, got a lot to show. He's kind of entering lame duck year, but there's a number of guys. Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia is another one that, look, they've got good teams, but it's getting to the point where being good isn't enough. You have to deliver in the postseason right here. And so that's where Mike McDaniel is right now. We know he's creative. We know he can change a culture because he's done that. But after a while, just getting to the dance isn't enough.
Yeah, straight up. I mean, Mike Jones telling it how a TI is. We're joined right now on the guest hotline by national NFL writer, for The Athletic, my pal Mike Jones. Make sure you follow him on the X app, at by Mike Jones. I think it's only fitting, right, that we move on to the Dallas Cowboys next here. Mike, you have covered the National Football League for a long time, and we've heard great Jerry Jones sound bites over the years. The way that he came off yesterday and his comments about Dak and, you know, him not paying for something in the past and then it ended up being better for him. What did you make of Jerry at the podium? And do you think ultimately they get this thing done?
I mean, it's Jerry, you know, and Jerry's also getting up in age. So, you know, the things he says are going to start making less and less sense. But I do think that they are going to find a way to get Dak taken care of. You know, Mike McCarthy, I don't know what's going to happen with him. But I think Jerry knows as he looks around, if they don't have Dak, who else she going to get? You know, and so teams, you know, want to try to get a bargain or whatever. But again, if you take a long time, if they had gotten Dak taken care of last year, they would have been paying $49-50 million. Now they're going to have to pay him $53-55 million, something like that. And so I think Jerry's going to eventually get it done. But, you know, you have to just – I just don't like the fact that Jerry was very complacent when he had a chance to get Sean Payton, you know. He didn't, and he kept rolling with Mike McCarthy. And I thought last year, after the way that they, you know, wet the bed in the playoffs, that he was going to be gone then, and he stuck with them. I think that is going to wind up coming back to haunt him. We shall see. But, you know, as far as the quarterback goes, I think he's going to get Dak taken care of. Taking too long, but, you know, he's going to wind up getting it done.
Now, for all the drama that they've had off the field between the holdouts and the contract stuff, I mean, Dallas has been one of the better regular season teams in the National Football League the past three seasons. They lose defensive coordinator Dan Quinn to Washington. They lose several different assistants. They lost a few key starters as well. The combination of that and then the contract drama, do you envision a scenario in which Dallas takes a step back next year because all of this is just simply too much for them to handle?
Well, I mean, it just depends on how quickly they get it resolved. You know, if they get all this quickly resolved as far as these contracts before the end of training camp, then they're going to be okay. And look, Washington's a work in progress. Giants aren't going anywhere. The Eagles are, you know, retooling at offensive coordinator. So Dallas should be in the thick of things in their division. So, you know, will they take a step back? I don't know. I think they'll probably be similar to where they are right now. They've got the same quarterback, you know, continuity on offense. They can get CeeDee Lamb taken care of. I think they kind of messed up not drafting a running back. You know, yeah. But we'll see. But again, when you look at the rest of the division, there's, you know, they shouldn't go backwards because Washington probably can take some lumps. Giants, like I said, so they should be right there. You know, them and the Eagles kind of duking it out for that division.
I'll tell you this, Mike. You know, I was out there, boots on the ground in Ashburn this morning. People are in a frenzy over the way Jaden Daniels has looked through the first 3 days of training camp. So we'll see if Washington is able to enter that conversation. Flipping over to the AFC East once more, a tweet came out from someone at a local news outlet in Buffalo. Josh Allen, 4 interceptions during a team period to the Bills defense. Do you expect that offense to take some time to get going, adjusting to life without Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis? And then, two, like, do you think Josh Allen, after a career high in interceptions last year, has got a little bit of pressure on him in terms of, you know, if he's able to carry this group?
Yeah, I mean, I don't put a whole lot of stock on interception totals in the second, third day of training camp. Lots of times, you know, a veteran quarterback is going to force some things just to try to see. He's got new wide receivers. He needs to see what those guys can do. He's got to, like, see what he can get away with because he's got to develop trust and know, okay, if I put this ball here, can he get it for me? Or if I do this, can he, you know, so there's experimentation going on there. He does have pressure on him, though, because now he doesn't have Stephon Diggs. You know, they've got a wide receiving unit that is a little bit, you know, just kind of mediocre. And so he's got to be careful once it gets to the season about not forcing things. You don't want him running more than what he already does, but there's going to be a lot on him. They need to find a way to ease pressure on him, have a strong run game, put these receivers in, you know, positions that can help him. But it's going to be interesting. You know, like I said, Sean McDermott, their window, it feels like it was there and it might be shrinking. And when I stack them up, I look at the Bills, you know, in their division, they still have a chance because, you know, who knows with the Jets, what they could be a disaster again. Even with Aaron Rodgers back, the Dolphins, they've got a lot to prove. The Patriots are going to be a project, but when you stack them up against, the Chiefs and the Bengals and the Ravens, I think that the Bills are going to be lacking. And so we'll see. Their defense is kind of retooling as well. And so I expect they're going to take a little bit of a step back.
Want to move things over to the AFC North. One of the teams that I am, you know, super infatuated by going into the regular season is the Cleveland Browns. They announced yesterday that Kevin Stefanski is going to be the one calling plays. I know they brought in Coach Dorsey. What do you make of that situation in Cleveland? And I guess, Mike, what is your confidence level that we can see Deshaun Watson bounce back? I'm not talking about him bouncing back in terms of the way he looked in that final regular season in Houston, but can he reestablish himself as a top 12 quarterback in the National Football League, do you think?
I don't know. We have to see how he looks coming off of his shoulder surgery. Ken Dorsey is, I think it's a smart move for the fans to keep calling plays. Ken Dorsey did not show he has any idea how to call plays last year when he was the play caller in Buffalo. I didn't agree with the hiring of him there in Cleveland. I will say if his job is to work with the quarterback and, you know, be a mentor and things like that and just be a bridge for the head coach, he's fine as that. But, you know, because he did well with Josh Allen when he was the quarterback's coach in Buffalo. But then once he became the play caller, it just seemed like he was in over his head. And so good to have an extra set of eyes and maybe, you know, a couple new wrinkles to add to the offense. But Stefanski calling plays, it's his offense. I think that and also, look, he's got to get something done here. I know they've had quarterback issues there, but that's another guy that has got to get his team. And look, they did really well last year, despite not having Deshaun Watson. he's just a big mystery, man. Whether he's going to be able to ever get back, I don't know if he will. The Browns obviously are hoping. They gave him a lot of money, and they haven't seen a return on that investment yet. But we'll see.
Yeah, the Browns are going to be fascinating. I think we all across the country love what they have on defense. I think Nick Chubb, when healthy, clearly we know what he is, one of the better offensive lines in football. It really is just dependent upon whether or not Deshaun Watson can bounce back, you know, to that Houston Texans form here potentially. One of the other big-time quarterbacks that got paid this offseason, Mike, was Trevor Lawrence down in Jacksonville. They went through a little bit of an identity crisis last year. They couldn't run the football when they needed to in big-time spots. They collapsed down the season. Obviously, that had a lot to do with the injury situation and how healthy Trevor Lawrence was. But when you look at them in the landscape of the AFC, like, do you think they have enough on both sides of the football to not just be some fringe wild-card team, but to maybe be on that short list of teams that's going to give Kansas City a run for their money?
I mean, they got to get past Houston now because Houston leapfrogged them last year. And I expect that they are going to continue to build. They lost Calvin Ridley. That's a big loss for them. So, I mean, Gabe Davis, I don't know that, you know, he's the answer there. They don't have a true number one wide receiver. You know, so it's going to be interesting to see with them where they are. I think that, you know, Trevor Lawrence is solid. We haven't seen him be that generational talent that they thought he was going to be coming out of college, but he also has dealt with a lot of dysfunction and change and things like that. But, you know, they, you know, their division that they're in, again, like I said, Houston has leapfrogged them. The Titans are going to be a little better, although they have a first-year coach. Indianapolis is going to be intriguing as, you know, they surprised people last year, and Anthony Richardson is now back from injury, but he's going to probably, you know, go through another little adjustment period. They had better get things back on track this year because the other teams are coming. I think that the lack of weapons is probably going to hurt Lawrence with that offense. You know, they got to figure out their run game, and you know, who's he throwing to? Doesn't have a game breaker as far as a wide receiver or a tight end now. And so it might be a little tough for them.
Yeah, for Trevor Lawrence, I think it's fascinating that you brought up the generational talent stuff. I mean, he was that guy as like a sophomore at Clemson. We were penciling him in as the number one quarterback in that draft if he was even eligible. And to this point, he's topped out at 4,100 yards and 25 touchdowns. It's just not enough to warrant that type of praise. Another quarterback situation that just took a little bit of a turn due to injury yesterday, Russell Wilson being listed as day-to-day with a calf injury. Is this the opening, Mike, that Justin Fields needed to potentially get himself in the mix to be that week one starter?
I don't think so. You know, I was out there today at the Steelers practice, and Russell Wilson, he claims if it was a game that he would have been out there. You know, Mike Tomlin said that, look, we're being cautious. It's, you know, 3 days in the training camp. There's no need to risk it or whatever. Right. I still think Russell Wilson's going to wind up being the starter. But the question is for how long? Is it going to, you know, be the first month of the season? You know, Justin Fields made some good passes. You know, he seems like he does well when he's got a lot of space. But then in the tight windows, down in the red zone, inside the five-yard line is where he kind of has struggled a little bit. And did so again today in practice. We'll see. But I think that he's coming. Russell Wilson, that leash isn't going to be too long. So we'll see. Again, is it by October that there's a changing of the guard? It's probably one of the most intriguing quarterback positions in the league right now.
Mike, what's the next stop on the old NFL training camp calendar?
I'll hit up Philly early next week, then roll over to Baltimore.
That means I should be seeing you soon, my brother. I appreciate you giving us some time, my man.
All right, have a good one.
Big thank you to our guy Mike Jones, senior writer for The Athletic, giving us some time. That is going to do it, though, for this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. Back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on The Fan. The Infinity Sports Network, coming up next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters, up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.